Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that Parliament in England had fought a war against its own king, and the king had lost. He was publicly executed, and the war kind of dragged on for a little longer. The king's son, Charles II, still had an army that was loyal to him, and they carried on the fighting against Parliament's forces. However, while that was going on, Parliament controlled England. This meant they also controlled the colonies. The colonists were fiercely loyal to the king, and so was the governor of Virginia, William Berkeley. He had grown up as one of the king's personal dressers, message men, and companions. He had fought in the Civil War in England against Parliament. He had grieved when his beloved king was beheaded. Now, in Virginia, he and the assembly immediately declared that the king's son, Charles II, was the legitimate ruler of England, and that Parliament was nothing more than a bunch of lawless traitors. He would not bow to them. The colonists wouldn't bow to them either, and they wrote to Parliament letting them know as much. As we can imagine, the Parliament that had just dethroned the king and beheaded him in front of everyone wasn't about to let a bunch of colonists get away with such disregard for their authority. They were in charge, and one way or another, the colonists would bend the knee. The first thing they did was they came up with a new law that said colonists could no longer trade with anyone other than England. All that sweet trading and money they got from selling tobacco to Holland was now canceled. Remember, the colonists had built all sorts of warehouses in Holland where raw tobacco was to be dried, rolled, and sold to Europe. The colonists made tons more money this way than selling to England alone. England knew this and decided to assert their control over the colony by telling them they could no longer trade with Holland and could no longer trade with any other country. They had to sell and buy things only with England. England controlled Virginia. Not only did England have the right to Virginia, it had also provided the men, women, children, and money to start the colony in the first place. So, this new law was passed in 1650. It was called the Navigation Act because it said that other countries couldn't navigate ships with things to buy and sell to the colony, and that the colony couldn't navigate ships with things to buy and sell to anywhere other than England. The full force of England was supposed to enforce this law. Anyone who was sailing on behalf of England was ordered to seize all non-English ships that were found to be buying and selling in the colony. You couldn't even sail from England to Virginia without getting special permission from a special council in England. This was horrible for Virginia. The people there relied on trading with other countries to survive. If they weren't allowed to do this, and they could only buy and sell with England, the entire colony would be ruined, fast. Even facing total financial ruin, the people of Virginia didn't bend the knee. When the Navigation Act was sent over to the colony, Governor Berkeley proclaimed to the assembly that they were basically worthless as a people if they allowed orders from Parliament to shake them. The guilt of the king's execution would be on their hands if they recognized his murderers as their rulers. He told them that he would either lead them to victory over Parliament or would die trying. Then the Navigation Act was read aloud for the assembly to hear. The assembly immediately passed a series of documents stating that they were loyal to the king and not Parliament. That Parliament was nothing more than a bunch of king killers, that the colonists in Virginia were not traitors, and that they were in fact following English law, as they had always done, by recognizing nobody other than the king as their ruler. In addition to that, perhaps the most important document the assembly wrote was one stating that they would continue to trade with whomever they wanted, so long as it was not with an enemy of the king, and that they would use the entire force of the colony to protect this ability to trade with whomever they wanted. So, Virginia did just that. England couldn't really do much to enforce the law. I mean, they were an entire ocean away, and who was going to stop foreign ships in the colony? Not the colonists, and not the governor, and not any of the police, judges, or council members who were all under his control. So, foreign trade continued as it had before the law forbidding it. In fact, it not only continued, it increased. The Dutch specifically brought in more ships and purchased more tobacco from the colonists than it had before. The Dutch were making tons of money. The colonists were making tons of money. The only people who were making less money were the English ships coming from England. They couldn't buy as much tobacco, and they couldn't offer as much money as the Dutch were offering. Complaints poured into the council in England, and finally, Parliament realized that their law forbidding trade was actually hurting England more than it was Virginia. England's plan of punishing Virginia for not bowing down to them had failed. But, like before, Parliament wasn't about to let a little colony embarrass them like this. So, it was time to move on to the next step. They decided to send a large number of armed soldiers to the colony to force the colonists to submit. They also sent a group of men to try and convince the colonists to submit in order to avoid any fighting. Parliament had assumed that they were colonists in Virginia who supported them. There were, but there weren't that many of them. They ordered the men they sent over to raise an army out of those supporters. They allowed the men to grant freedom to any servant and pardons to certain criminals who volunteered to fight for Parliament. This army was supposed to overthrow the current government and establish a new government that recognized Parliament as its ruler. In 1652, Governor Berkeley caught wind of the British soldiers' arrival in the area and quickly raised his own army by calling all of the Virginia military to arms. He placed them in strategic positions around the River James and took command. Parliament had betrayed the king. They had executed him. He was not going to allow them to set foot in Virginia. Only the king could command them. Only the king could rule over the colony. He took control of the Dutch ships that had been trading in the colony at the time and placed the men on the ships around Jamestown. Other military men were placed along the banks of the River James itself, and others were positioned on the land behind them. As the British advanced into colonial territory, the colonists aimed their weapons at them, ready to fight on Berkeley's order. Luckily for the colony, it didn't end in a battle and things were solved. The rest of the colonies weren't in a place to battle England yet. It would have failed and harsh measures would have been taken against Virginia. This is why Berkeley ultimately backed down. In addition to this, the men who had been sent from England offered some other good deals for the colony if the colonists would lower their weapons and submit. The men offered the colonists the freedom of trade with whomever they wanted without England interfering. That Parliament recognizes that they can't tax the colonists for any reason without the consent of the colonists, and that, interestingly, no castles or forts or guard towers could be built or maintained in the colony without the consent of the colonists. It was like Parliament was saying that the colony wasn't completely under the control of England. Parliament was saying that it needed the colonists' permission for some things. And remember that the colonists had been promised from the very first day they set foot in Virginia that they were the same as any Englishman standing on English soil. All laws and rights were extended to the colonists. In England, the citizens couldn't be taxed without their permission, and in the colony, the same law applied. What this meant was that the colonists would elect people who would vote on whether or not certain taxes could be taken from the people. If they didn't like how one of their representatives voted, they could vote him out. In this way, the people gave their consent to be taxed. And without this consent of the representatives voting for or against taxes, taxes were not allowed to be taken from the people. This is really important to the reasons behind the American Revolution. Later, when the war would kick off, the major point that was being fought over legally was that England was taxing them without allowing colonists to elect people who voted on the taxes. They were being taxed without their permission. So, now we understand a little about the background on why the colonists would later insist that they had that right to representation when it came to taxes. So now with this surrender in the colony, all the colonists had to agree to in return was that Parliament was their ruler. There was no more king in charge, and they had to obey Parliament the same as they had the king. The governor and the assembly all agreed. However, when Parliament read the agreement, they were outraged. The men had been too lenient with the colonists. The colonists had disobeyed them, had raised arms against them, and had cost a lot of time and money from England to take care of all of this. Parliament passed most of the agreement, but also made a new part of the agreement. They added that all people who took part in this mutiny would be pardoned. They also added that every person who remained in Virginia at all, regardless of whether they were in the government there or just an ordinary citizen, they had to take an oath pledging allegiance to Parliament, and that anyone who refused to take this oath had 1 year to pack up their things and leave the colony. Berkeley, of course, refused to take the oath and left the office of governor. He left as a hero of the people, fondly remembered years later when they begged him to come back. For now, that opens the next part of Virginia's history. The part where Parliament mostly leaves Virginia alone and things get a little dicey as the colonists try to rule themselves. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss how Parliament's takeover of England affected the way things worked in Virginia. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.